Yeah, so today I want to share a bit on God's faithfulness towards us, and I'm going to move fairly quickly through a number of verses that were encouraging me on the subject, and I hope can be an encouragement to you guys as well. So let's start in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I started looking at these verses just because if you flip through or if you do a little word study, as I can use my phone to do, and see different verses in the New Testament that talk about it, is you just see actually sort of peppered throughout the letters in the New Testament, the authors, most of the ones I looked at were Paul, but others as well, reminding the Christians that God is faithful, your Heavenly Father is faithful, Jesus is faithful. And like it was a reminder to them in different contexts. And as I reflected on it, I was like, man, I think there's perhaps something here that could be an encouragement to me and to others, just in perhaps trying to get a little more insight as to why they're sharing this. I mean, it is obvious, but I think it's also good sometimes to remind ourselves that we're called to be faithful. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, that without faith, we can't please God. So we can't live a life that is in any way pleasing to God unless we have a faith towards God and a belief in Him. But times it's also really good to remember that far greater than any mustard seed or little grain of faith that is in our own heart, God's faithfulness towards us is like a mountain. It says in the Psalms that His faithfulness reaches to the skies. So we may have a little mustard seed, which has been in growing in our heart into a faithfulness and a faith that we can have towards our Heavenly Father and in the work that Jesus Christ has done. But in comparison, a little bit like comparisons Jason was giving, God's faithfulness towards us, it reaches to the skies. It's as consistent or more consistent as orbits and patterns we see in creation and nature, morning and night, and the sun rising every morning. These are all examples that are there to help us understand God's faithfulness towards us and His ability to consistently be there for us, to help us and to carry us through this life and cause us to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ, because these are some of the ways that the promise of God's faithfulness is applied in the New Testament. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, it says, "Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He who calls you, and He also will bring it to pass." So in this verse, we're given a promise that we can be sanctified entirely, spirit, soul, and body. And we can be preserved in this life. We can make it through this race. We can run this race and finish the course and be preserved and sanctified at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul emphasizes that point not by calling the Thessalonians to look to themselves, but to look to Him who has called us, who has started us on this journey, and was the one who it is His strength and His power that will complete this journey for us. And it says, "Faithful is He who calls you, and He also will bring it to pass." So as I looked at this verse here, I just took some encouragement that as I meditate and as I have a confidence in God's faithfulness to me, it can give me a faith and a confidence that He is going to carry me through this journey, that the sanctification that I desire, and I would say that throughout all these promises, I'll read a few verses on it, maybe one on the end. God's faithfulness is there for us when we fall. God's faithfulness is there to encourage us and pick us up. But these verses are applied to those who have a Holy Spirit birth desire in their heart to be sanctified, to those who are born again, as we talked about, I talked about last week, to those who have been given God's Spirit and His soft heart. If we're in that state, then we need to lean into these promises. We need to know that as our hearts desire to be sanctified, as we're struggling through, as we're battling through, as we're seeing the weakness in our own nature, and at times we have to get back up from our stumblings, that's when we need to lean into God's faithfulness and know, like, even more than we desire to be sanctified and changed and conformed to the image of our Savior Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father, even more so, wants to bring that about in us. And He will be faithful. It says it's a matter of fact that to those who are called, to those who are born again and that God is working, then He will bring it to pass. We can have a confidence that if our heart attitude is to be sanctified, if our heart desire is to be preserved, spirit, soul, and body, and we lay hold and that's our desire and we continue in that desire, we can have a confidence that God will bring it to pass. He is going to do it. He is faithful. Okay, so let's turn to another verse in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm not going to dwell long here, but it's another verse that kind of just gives us a little confirmation in the same vein. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 8. Paul is already talking a little bit about why he's thankful for the Corinthians and why he's thankful for what God has done in them. But then in verse 8, just to get to the point of what I wanted to share, it says, once again, it's the middle of a thought, but it says, who will also confirm you to the end? So once again, there's a turning the attention of the Corinthians to God's faithfulness, to the faithfulness of our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what it's about here. It says, our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So once again, in looking to the end, in looking to the finish line, that we would be found blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul is encouraging the believers to remember, God is faithful. Don't get too focused on yourself. The focus here is that it's God who's faithful. God is going to bring it to pass. Our Savior Jesus Christ is able to confirm us to the end. He is able to keep us and to cause us to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. We can have a confidence. We need to have a confidence that He can do this in us. We need to believe. We need to, when the doubts come, when the enemy comes and starts to lie to us and say that you're never going to overcome in this area, you're never going to change, you're always going to be the same person, we need to say, no, my God is faithful, and the Scriptures promise that I will be sanctified, I will be changed, and I will be confirmed to the end. And we need to lay hold of that, and in the midst of the difficulty, we are to look to God's faithfulness and put our confidence in Him and trust in Him that He can do it. Because the enemy wants us to believe that it can happen and then give up and then just spiral into further sin and spiral further away from God. Whereas the Scripture says, no, trust in God's faithfulness. He has called you. He has set you on this path. And you can have a confidence in Him that He will bring it to pass. We have a part to play in all of this. But there's also a really important part that says, I'm going to fix my eyes on my Savior. I'm going to fix my eyes on the fact that I have a faithful Heavenly Father who can bring this to pass, who can complete the work that He has started in me. As Paul says to the Philippians, he had a confidence in the Philippians, not in themselves, but that God who started the good work in them could also finish it. And those who have that desire to be sanctified, to those who have been born again, we too can lay hold of these promises that God who started is able to finish it. And I just think it's important, especially in the midst of trial, especially when discouragement or other things want to come, that we remember some of these promises. So let's go and look at a few more verses. Let's start in the Old Testament. Let's go all the way back to Deuteronomy. And I'm just going to touch on a few verses, but if you do a word study on faithfulness in the Old Testament, it is like everywhere. It is like everywhere. That was one thing that the Israelites that are forefathers in the faith, like they through the Holy Spirit, when they wrote, they emphasized God's faithfulness. It was very important to them as a nation, important to them as individuals. And as you look through in the Psalms and stuff, it's like, praise God for His faithfulness. praise God. There's commands and instructions. There must be 20 different times in the Psalms where it's like, praise God, remember God's faithfulness. Remember how he's carried you thus far. Remember what he's done in the past. Don't turn to idols. Don't turn away from him. Remember what he's already done. He is faithful. And constantly calling it to mind and remembering it. And I was encouraged by that. I was like, yeah, we've been called into a new covenant, which is even better than what they had. But we can already see from some of the verses I've read in the New Testament that God is still the faithful God. It's still something to be reminded of and encouraged in. So Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9, that says there, know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to a thousandth generation with those who love him and keep his commandments. And I chose this verse because in this verse specifically, God is known or acknowledged as the faithful God. We know he's a holy God. We know he's a God of mercy and loving kindness. But in this verse, it specifically says that he is the faithful God who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to the thousandth generation with those who love him and keep his commandments. So the writer of Deuteronomy, Moses, was reminding the Israelites then that you need to remember and know that we serve a faithful God. He is a God who keeps his promises. He is a God that we can rely on and trust in. So let's turn to next to Isaiah chapter 49. In Isaiah chapter 49, verse 7, there's a verse here that I thought was neat. It says, thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and its Holy One, to the despised one, to the one abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers. Kings will see and arise. Princes will also bow down because of the Lord who is faithful, the Lord, or the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. And there's a lot of different, I'm just reading one verse in this whole passage. There's a lot of promises about the servant and our Savior Jesus Christ, and also God's work towards his chosen people. But I looked at this, and what I saw here was a verse that starts by talking about those who are despised, those who are looked down on, those who are the servant of rulers. And a day will come when kings will see and arise and princes will also bow down because of the faithfulness of our God. And I was just reflecting and looking at that promise, and in my own heart I was kind of applying it to these times that we live in and even the second coming and the coming of our Savior. And there's a day that will come when all those who have served Jesus Christ faithfully and have been despised for that, have been looked down on for that, have been abhorred and ridiculed and abused and all these things, there's a day will come where God is going to make his faithfulness to his people known. And in that, the nations, the kings, the princes will have no choice but to bow down and worship God. To bow down and worship God. To worship Jesus Christ and say, you know what? You were right. We were fools. We despised you. We despised your people. We abhorred your law and abhorred your authority. And we took every opportunity we could to beat down those who were following you. But you know what? You were faithful. All along, even when we thought we were winning, no, we were actually just an instrument in your hand being used to refine and do a work in your chosen people. And you know what? We acknowledge. You are glorified in your saints, and we have no choice but to acknowledge you as Lord and King and to bow down and to worship. And I just was encouraged by that thought, that is the end outcome. If we read, and some of us have been, we've been reading through Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians on Friday nights, and it's been a good opportunity to meditate on the promises and some of the realities of Christ's coming and his ultimate triumph. And as I looked at this verse, I couldn't help but think of some of the same things, that there's a day coming where God's faithfulness to his people is going to be manifest. We have to receive it by faith. He's chosen it that we who are his children have to believe it by faith. We have to be reminded of these things because it may not be outwardly apparent at all times, God's faithfulness towards us. But we have to know that it is a rock-solid promise that we can trust in. But there also is a day coming where his faithfulness will become very apparent to all. And it'll be a day where those who were the ones ultimately despising and abhorring and looking down on the saints and ultimately on our Savior will have to acknowledge that God has been faithful and he has been good and he has done a good work in his church and in his people, and they will have to acknowledge that. And it's just something for me that I look forward to, and it also allowed me to tie that in with some of those verses that I was reading in the New Testament about God being able to preserve us until that day, to keep us until the end, that it's ultimately that he would be glorified. He wants to do this. He wants to preserve us. He wants to see us endure to the end, and he is going to be faithful to do it, because not that we would get any glory, but that he would be glorified. That he would be glorified in what he can do in those people he has called, in those people he has chosen. He wants to receive glory in that. And therefore, we can have a confidence that he is going to do it, because he ultimately is going to be glorified in his church, and he is going to be glorified in his people by conforming us to his image. And this verse to me just spoke to me in that way. So just a few more verses before I finish up. Let's turn... I think I want to just read a couple of verses about how this can also apply in a practical way too. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. So here's another very practical application, that as we have a confidence in God's faithfulness towards us, we can also have a confidence that in every temptation we face, that same God who is faithful to us will also be faithful to provide us a way of escape. That in the midst of temptation, in the midst of the test, we can provide a way of escape so that we will be able to endure it, so that we can overcome in the test. And I just want to expound on that a little bit, because I think it's really good to remember this, that the temptation as we walk, go through this walk, as a young man, the temptation may be a lust. It may be an image. It may be something that's pulling at you and that you've stumbled in before and feel like you're going to stumble in again. And in that, we can be rest assured that our Heavenly Father will provide a way of escape. If we're looking for it, we're going to find that way of escape. But for me, some other ways I've applied this and see this more recently in my life, it's all when I see it now, one of the ways that I can lay hold of this verse is that when I'm in the midst of a test, even in a conflict, in a place where there's like tension and anger and different things, I can, maybe it's just me, but at times I can feel like there's just no way out of this. Like it just feels like I don't know how to stop being angry. I don't think the person I may be upset with knows how to stop being angry. It just feels like there's just can be no escape, or I don't know how to be patient in this situation. It is beyond me right now to actually find patience. I'm upset, and I don't know how I can pivot back to being at peace and at rest and walking in the path that my Savior has for me. I just feel trapped in this emotion, trapped in this, I'll call it what it is, sin, if it's anger or impatience or any other sin, and you can just feel trapped in it. And at times I've had to call this verse to mind and say, you know what, no, there is a way of escape here. Father, I can't see it. I don't understand how my heart can turn from the state it's in right now to a state that you want it in, that can be pleasing to you in this circumstance. But I have to believe God is faithful. And irrespective of how I feel or how strong the temptation may be or how I feel that my nature can't be changed, I'm going to respond in this way because it's just the way I've done it before. I have to remember this person saying, no, God is faithful. He will make a way of escape. And a way of escape in this scenario doesn't necessarily look like as a young man where maybe I was able to click something closed and turn away from looking at something and flee from temptation in that way. In this way, a way of escape may actually look at being able to see it from somebody else's perspective. Or be able to see, you know what? This just doesn't matter. I need to pursue peace right now. This thing that I'm so worked up about and I feel wronged in and that I'm upset about, I need to actually put, like, by God's grace, put that aside and pursue peace right now. Because that is the more important thing. That is the more important thing in my home right now, is that there be peace between my spouse and I. Or that is the more important thing, that there be peace between my brother and I right now. So I'm going to pursue that and put aside all of this emotion and angst I'm feeling. And I'll find, by the grace of God, find that way of escape in that situation. And when you look at it that way, when you look at the different tests and emotions, and I can say it another way, when I feel stress or strain at work, and I just want to carry that home with me, and I just don't know how on earth I can leave this behind and put it aside. No, God will provide a way of escape. He wants me to be a blessing. He wants me to be a blessing to my family. So if I'm feeling that stress and strain and burden, there is a way of escape, and that God is faithful. He can provide it. I can find a path to be delivered. Our God is faithful, and He's going to do it. The way will be there because we believe and we trust. And as we look at some of these other verses, we can rely on that, that God is faithful. And I think it's just something I'm just giving you a little taste of it here. There's probably 100 different scriptures you can go through in the Word here, in the Old Testament and New Testament, looking at God's faithfulness and feeding on it and cultivating an understanding of it in our hearts. And it's going to help us. To the extent we hold on to these things and apply them and truly believe them, then when the test comes, it can help us.